Well, my name is Pastor Tom. I'm very excited to be here today, have some fun. So excited I forgot to get a mic. So, hey man, are you guys excited to hear God's word today? Three of you, awesome. I hope it's more of you. As you heard, we got 21 days of prayer to plug into and baptisms next week. I am so pumped. I love to participate in baptisms because it's really about our motto or our vision in this church is transform lives. And we get to see that all next week. So if you haven't been baptized, maybe you were as a baby and it wasn't your decision, it's time for you to make that decision. Or maybe you were a long time ago and walked away and whatever, and now it's time to make a recommitment. Sign up today because we would love to celebrate that with you. I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. And again, it's in that Bible in front of you. If you need one, I've got an extra one up here. There's a whole bunch in chairs. And if you have your device, you can do that on our sermon notes. I have the whole chapter of 1 John chapter 2 on your sermon notes, which is on Life Church Maine, okay, on your Play Store, whatever, wherever you get your apps. And I'm going to ask you to do one thing, though. In the last few weeks, I've been in services and just loving the messages. All of a sudden, I hear a phone ring or a buzz or something like that. So can you guys take your phones out and put it on silent or stun or whatever works for you? Or just, you have the little button that has the volume. Bring it all the way down, okay? Please. Because I get distracted. I might start over. It could be a long message. So we don't want to do that. And you know, when you came in, you see we have some construction going on. And, you know, I am known for a dad joke, so I do apologize for the construction. It's just, but I have a joke about construction, but we're still working on it. So bad. I know. Okay, hey, you know it's football season, so the football coach went to the bank to get his quarterback. Here's one that's church-related somewhat. Where do you learn how to make a banana split? Sunday school. That's all I'm going to put you through. Don't worry. Have a little bit of fun here. Let's pray before we get started in our word today, the message today. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for being able to be here, to hear your word, and to grow in fellowship with you, to learn more about you, Lord. Lord, we ask you to soften our hearts today. Open up our minds. Give us ears to hear your word and to receive your spirit today. And all that you have for us, Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been going through the book of 1 John. And Brandon kicked it off a few weeks ago. It was so awesome. He did such a great job. And in the last few weeks, we heard from Michael and Pastor Stenzi. And they're talking about God's purpose, which is, it so wraps into 1 John. I just want to talk a little bit, just to kind of bring us back to, who is this character John? Who is this guy? Well, John was one of the 12 disciples, you know that. He was the brother of James, and he was a fisherman with his father Zebedee. John and his brother James were, actually, they think he was a follower of John the Baptist first. You guys are quick on the draw up there. He was a fisherman, and Zebedee, his family was very prominent. They were wealthy, let's put it that way. They had lots of dough, all right? They were very successful because you can read when they left to go follow Jesus, they left their father and their hired hands. So, I mean, there was a lot. They were very successful, let's put it that way. John also, and John's family, knew the high priest. You can see when Jesus gets betrayed and they go to the high priest's house, John went in there. He writes it in John 18. He goes in to the high priest's house, but Peter wasn't allowed to come in. He had to go ask a servant to let him in. It's interesting. John was a part of the inner circle of Jesus with James and Peter. There's the three guys that were involved in some really intimate areas of Jesus' life. When Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, he takes Peter, James, and John. When Jesus climbs the mountain and he's transfigured and he talks to Moses and Elijah, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. When Jesus was faced with the biggest challenge, when he was betrayed and he knew what was going to happen, he was going to be betrayed, tried falsely, and murdered. He brought Peter, James, and John to pray with him. Some think that John, James, and Jesus were cousins. there's also, you know, when you read theologians and different commentaries on John, they also think that there was a special bond between James, John, and Jesus because they had, all of them had lost their father at a fairly young age. You can see James and John's mom going to Jesus saying, pleading for them to be on his right and left, you know, and she didn't understand, but she was vying for them. I think her name was Salmi. Vying for them to have a position, vying for them to be successful because dad was now gone. John wrote 5 books in the Bible. You know, he mentioned love over 80 times in his scriptures. And we have a picture of John here, right? We saw it briefly. But, you know, we have this picture of him being very loving. You know, he even writes about himself as the one Jesus loved. But that's not how he was when he first met Jesus. He was changed, or what we call transformed, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus actually nicknamed James and John the sons of thunder. It's not because they had any control over the climate. It's because they were rough characters. They probably got in a lot of fights. And the word thunder, actually, when it's translated, means rage. Interesting, huh? And then when the Samaritans, I guess the disciples went out, and the Samaritans came back, and they were rejected. James and John go to Jesus, "Shall we call fire from heaven and burn these Samaritans?" I mean, he's the guy that's called the guy of love, right? Well, he wasn't always that way. He wasn't. He was transformed. Has your life been transformed by Jesus? And let me say it again. Has your life been transformed by Jesus? Yes, good. Well, Pastor Michael and his pastor, Stenzi, talked about our purpose and having a purpose and that God has a purpose for us and our eternal purpose. And it was so good. And if you didn't get a chance to be here last week or the week before, go on and watch those messages. They were so powerful. But you know what? Have we ever had an experience with God? Maybe in a worship, you hear a song and it moves you to tears. I was in a group the other night with our marriage group, and one of the guys says, "Yeah," says, "I sometimes have a hard time crying." He's a big dude, and he's talking about crying in worship because he has a connection with God, and he experiences God. And I was like, "Dude, I never cried before I came to this church. I don't think I ever did, really. I would just, because I was taught not to cry. To be a real man, you don't cry." Well, unfortunately, that was a lie. But a lot of times, unfortunately, we tend to judge our God, our relationship with God, by moments or experiences, and not by who he is and who he told us he was. Have you ever been on a dry spell in a relationship? Maybe you've been married and have moments of dry spell, or in another relationship with your kids or coworkers, whatever it is. Sometimes we have a dry spell, and also in our relationship with God. There's a picture I saw on social media where a guy is saying, "God, speak to me. Lord, speak to me." And here's God's answer. It's true. We want something magical, or we want something, a miracle. We want some drastic thing to happen. You know what happens? God says, "Open up my book. I'm gonna speak to you. Just open up my book." Friends, over the last several years, now I've been a Christian for over 30 years, card carrying, let's put it that way. And I plugged into this church 24 years ago and started the process of being mentored and discipled, and it took a long time. but the thing that's impacted me more than anything else in the last several years is diving in to God's Word and reading it every day. And you know, praying, and I hope you do pray, we're 21 days of prayer. Praying really is talking to God. And God wants to hear from us. He does. He likes hearing from us. But Bible study, reading God's Word, is God talking to us. And I remember read the scripture where you're reading, it's the Bible's the only book where you can read it, but it also reads you. I don't know about you, but almost every time I crack open the Bible and read something, I just get rocked. God just shows me something, and he's like, "This is for you, Tom." And sometimes it's in the form of a 2x4. It's like, "Oh yeah, I gotta do that. I gotta," you know, but it's not about being condemned, but there is conviction. You know, in your sermon notes, you'll see a bunch of scriptures in the bottom there, and there's a whole bunch there. But the Word of God is inspired in Timothy, and it's, I'll just surmise it, it's to direct us and correct us. It really is. It's to inspire us to change, to do the right things, to live the way God intended us to live. The Word of God is alive. It's alive. It's the only thing I've ever read, and I've read a lot of things, but I actually read it where revelation happens, where things come to light, and I see things. Not weird things, but I see things that God shows me by spending time in His Word. It is alive. It's true. John wrote in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And he goes on, you can read it. But he's talking about the Word is Jesus on pages. And what happens? A lot of us, including me, don't make time. We want to know God. We want to have a relationship with God. We want to hear from Him, but we don't make time to spend with Him. That was me. I memorized scriptures years ago, and I thought, you know, people thought, wow, you're pretty smart. Yeah, I am. it's not true. And I have done over the last, I'd say about maybe 2 years now, or close to it, every morning I get up, the first thing I do, or the second thing I do, is make coffee. But I pray, and then I spend some time reading a chapter of God's Word. I put on some, you know, forest music on YouTube with birds are chirping, you know. But I don't care if people don't like it or not. I think I'm weird. I already am. But but it just gets my mind ready to spend some time with God. And I have been totally taken to the next level. You know what happens a lot of times in our Christian walk? We get to a point where we hit a ceiling. We can't get any, you know, why is our relationship not better? Why do I still struggle with some of the stuff that I still struggle with? Ever been there? Boy, I've been there. Boy. But I can tell you this, the more I spend time with God, the closer I get to Him, the less and less I'm drawn to those other things. The less and less I desire those other things. The less and less I want to sin. We're going to do something today, and I'm going to ask for your help. Either in the Bible that I asked you to open up, or on your device, you can follow it along on the sermon notes. Some of you have maybe never done this, and I've allotted a little bit of time, but we're going to actually read together the whole book. No, sorry, the whole chapter. The whole book of the Bible, in the beginning. the whole chapter of 1 John chapter 2. And, you know, I've read this every day now this week, spending time preparing for this, and there's 20 sermons at least in this. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to have one point. I'm going to drive it home, hopefully. But I want to do this together because, and then here's one of the things I learned, is when I read God's Word, I go with expectation. I don't do it to check it off. I don't do it to, you know, do something like this or that. I do it to get revelation. And in your notes, revelation and application. Revelation means, God, what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to show me? You know, show me, tell me, teach me. Revelation and application, how does it apply in my life? Maybe something I have to change. Maybe something I have to do. Maybe someone I have to reach out to. A lot of times that happens when I spend time in God's Word. So we're going to do this together. Bear with me as I get this set up. My kids laugh because, Dad, you're so slow on the technology. I said, yeah, go to your room. No, I don't say that much. Well, we're going to, okay, 1 John chapter 2, and you're going to hear this. I'm going to have it played. So I want you to really focus. Stop thinking about what you got to do today. Shut your mind off of everything else and focus. And God will show you things through this, while we read this together. He'll show you, I know this sounds maybe strange, you know, you came here to listen to me tell jokes, or I hope not. I really do, I hope not. But this is where life changes, right here. So I'm going to play this, you follow along. Everybody ready? Okay, all right, here we go.
Chapter 2. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. A new commandment. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment, to love one another, is the same message you heard before. Yet, it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. If anyone claims, I am living in the light, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves another brother or sister is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates another brother or sister is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. I am writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I am writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. I have written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts, and you have won your battle with the evil one. Do not love this world. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Warning about antichrists. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the antichrist is coming, and already many such antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. But you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you His Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life He promised us. I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as He has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ, living as children of God. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ, so that when He returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from Him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children.
Wow, wasn't it awesome? Thank you for participating with me in that. That was less than 5 minutes. We just did a chapter. Do we have 5 minutes a day? We do. If you look at your phones and go to how much time you're spending on them or how much time you're on certain apps, you can kind of look that up. That'll shock you. I did it one time, and it was like 4 hours. And I was like, what? And thank God, one at the top was the Bible app. I'm like, oh, but there was a lot of others. And it was not just 4 hours in the Bible app, trust me. But we have enough time to do this. I'm asking you to do this, to make a commitment to do this. I've had to force myself in the beginning because it wasn't so, I didn't like to read. I have a little dyslexia. I have all kinds of stuff going on. It's not easy for me to do it. But you know what? I desired to know him more. You know, there's a word mentioned 14 times in that scripture we just read. If we can put the slide, the Greek word, if we can put that slide up. Yeah, I am not going to try to say it, all right? But what it is, it's that word know or knowing. And there's lots of different versions of it. You can have some fun looking it up. And I think it's called jinsiko or something like that. Here's one definition. To learn to know, to come to know, to get a knowledge and perceive and feel and become known. Somebody else said this. It means applies a vivid understanding, implies a vivid understanding and relationship between what is known and the knower. It's all about a relationship. So if you're opening your Bible just to learn about stuff and about history, it's all there. And that's all great, but it's really about to get to know the author, to get to know. There's prayers in the Bible all over the place talking about this idea of knowing God more. And here's one. I'm going to put it up on the screen here. It says, it's in Colossians. So we have not stopped praying for you. Paul's writing to this church. Since we first heard about you, we have asked God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you a spiritual wisdom, give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and praise the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. God has a goal for us to get to know him more and more. And he's given us the playbook. He's given us the Bible. He's got all of his words in there for us. And all we have to do is spend time with him. But we don't. Come on, if we're being honest. What stops us? 2 Corinthians says this, and he says, we're going to destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. There are obstacles in our life, which is called life, that gets us in between our relationship with God and us. Busyness, distractions. I don't know how many times when I first started doing this on my phone, I would go onto like Facebook or something like that before I went on the Bible app. I had to stop that. I had to catch myself. Like, no, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I was so used to doing things that were fun, maybe entertainment or going on YouTube or whatever it was I liked to do and learning versus starting with him. Once I flipped that is when things started to change in me. Yes, I believed. Yes, I know that Jesus Christ came and died for me. Took my sins and sacrificed himself for me. I know that. But I didn't know him. You know, football's back, right? Everybody's excited, I can tell. I watched a couple preseason games, and those are always fun, you know, it's kind of interesting. But you know, if I mentioned a name, how many would you say, raising your hands, say you would know this person? Just raise your hand. Ready? Tom Brady. You've heard the name? But do you know him? Do you really know him? No, you don't. You know of him. When I was a kid, I worked in a restaurant many years ago, and there was a guy that was a client. He was an attorney, an agent, sports agent. And I was probably 16 years old, and my aspirations was to be in the NFL. I was going to play college football. I was lifting weights. I was, you know, I was on a couple of teams that went to state championships. I was, like, so fired up to to go to the next level. And I did play a little bit of college until I realized how small I was. But this guy, we talked, and he goes, I'm going to bring you one of my friends. And he's a coach. I said, great. And I didn't think anything of it. And well, about a week later, he shows up with this guy, and I recognized him. I'm like, who's this guy? And it started to come to my brain who he was. And he introduced himself, and we talked a little bit about football, and he encouraged me, and I think I mustered out maybe two words that were legible. You know, because this guy was an NFL head coach. And he came to the restaurant with his buddy, and the guy's name was Dick Vermeil. And he had just been to the Super Bowl with the Eagles. He was the head coach of the Eagles back in the early 80s. I know early 80s were before the 90s, and some of you, there was football back then. but and And then he was just getting ready to make his decision, I guess. With a few years later, he was in broadcasting to go coach another team, the St. Louis Rams, eventually. And they won a Super Bowl. And he, I guess they went to a couple of them. But he was a great guy. He was very encouraging. And I know when I was 16 years old, I met this guy. And I was like, wow. I went around telling people, I know Dick. Yeah, I know Dick Vermeil. We're buds. I talked to him for 15 minutes. So obviously, I exaggerated it. But in my mind, I knew him. I met him, right? Ever done that? You met a celebrity? Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, let me tell you the time I met so-and-so. But it's not knowing. It's not knowing. See, God wants us to know him. Because there's a saying, it's a song years ago, to know him is to love him. And it's so true with God. Now, it's not always the case with people, is it? You know, my wife and I have been married 33 years. What, next week, I think? Check the calendar. Yes. Yes, it is. Okay. 33 years. And, you know, when we first got together, everything was just perfect. We loved each other. We made allowances for each other's faults. You know, we overlooked a lot of things. And then we got married and started living together and got to really know each other. And she was singing, "What's love got to do with this?" No, I mean, humanly, it's impossible to do that. Because God is love. But as we spend time getting to know God, we fall in love with him. We get to know his personality. We get to know his heart. And I'm far from there, but man, I know it more than I did years ago. I know, I can kind of see. I'm going to say this and you're going to laugh. I can almost think how he's going to think. And I'm not there yet, trust me. But I just see differently. And when you know someone and you love them, you trust them. You know what comes after that? You obey. Follow. You obey. That's why it's hard for us to obey his commands. That's why it's hard for us to do what he wants us to do when it's tough and it's challenging. It's not what we want. It's not what we desire. It's not what we think we should do. We're going to do it our own way. Anybody else with me done that? Yeah. But when I know him, like I'm knowing him more and more, I have a hard time sinning the way I used to sin. I have a hard time. It hurts my heart. I can't look at anything online that would not be honoring to God. Or look at some person of a different gender at the gym. I can't do that. Like I just can't anymore, because I know it hurts the heart of God. And that used to be a problem for me. Those things used to be a real big problem for me. Swearing, I used to be, man, I was professional. I was. I mean, I had it down. I knew all the words. I can't do it well. Now, sometimes it slips up. Sometimes I'm not perfect. But man, I got to tell you this. It's not easy for me, because the more I get to know him, the more I'm closer to the light, the more I see my imperfections, the more I see myself, and the more I know how much I need him, how much of a sinner I am, and how much I can't live without him. You know, if you're coming to church and the only time you're hearing a scripture, reading one, is here, you're missing out on the best part of God. If you are reading maybe just even a verse every now and then, or the daily Bible verse, today's really good. But God being our dad, it's so cool. But if that's all you're getting, it's like open up the Bible. Ever open up the Bible and just pick a scripture and read it? I was talking to a guy the other day, and he did that. He says, and he read, "Judas hanged himself." Then he did it again. "Go and do likewise." I'd be a little funny here, but you know, but that's dangerous. You know, it's like having a, if you ever talk to somebody on a cell phone and you get a bad connection? Imagine reading the word that way. In the made all good. Maybe you get something out of that, but it's not the same as if you hear the whole thing. That's why we want you to read a chapter. Read a book. You know, we read chapter 2, but that's just one out of so many chapters. And they put the people who put the Bibles together made chapters. There was no chapters. First John is a whole letter. Read the whole thing. I think Pastor Brian did that, or I don't know who it was that did it a few weeks ago. You don't just read a little bit of a letter and put it away. No, you read the whole thing. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Just imagine if you did that. I'm going through the New Testament. There's an app on YouVersion where you go through the New Testament this year. And I'm almost done the last quarter. And it's just so much fun. There's your phone. No, sorry. See, I told you I get distracted. Squirrel. No. Can you come back next service and do that? No. Sorry. See, God even uses me. That's so cool, because I'm far from perfect. But spending time in God's Word, like I said, has changed everything for me, and I'm going to encourage you. If that's the one thing that you get from today, is get to know Him more by spending more time with Him. Make a decision to do that. If you have to force yourself like I had to do it first thing because I get the day goes by, do it. And it will change and transform your life. I want to tell you a story briefly, and I'll wrap up here. And we'll take communion. I'm a little bit over. I apologize. But I can gust up to about 800 words a minute, so you watch me. No. I want to tell you a story. I read this story about this guy, this missionary, Robert Thomas. See, in the 1800s, this young man from Great Britain was called to ministry, and specifically into missionary ministry. And he was led to go to China. Well, there was, it wasn't very open, let's put it that way. He went to seminary and studied, and he had a knack for learning languages. He just, afterwards, he and his wife, his newly wife, they went to China for their first expedition. And unfortunately, it was really hard. It was really challenging. So hard in another way, because his wife, she was expecting, and she had a miscarriage. And because of the miscarriage, not only did the baby was lost, but she passed away. And he was rocked. Here he is in this foreign country, doesn't have any family here. And he took a step back, and he's questioning himself, did I do the right thing? He's questioning God, why is this happening? And he took a job interpreting for a French trading company for a little bit of time, just to kind of go through his grief and recover. He didn't feel like he could lead ministry at that time. But at that time, when he was working there, he met two Korean guys that came, and they asked him, because they think they saw a Bible or something, and asked him what that book was. And they had just heard about Jesus. They didn't know anything. And he started a Bible study with these two guys. And it reignited his passion, his desire, his purpose to go back and to do missionary work. And he thought, I got to go to Korea. Now, Korea was called the hermit nation because they wouldn't let anybody come in. They wouldn't let anybody trade. They didn't want any influences. So he was excited. So he convinced actually a French trading vessel's captain to go to Korea and give it a shot. Well, I'm going to kind of surmise this real quick, but they went on, and he brought a bunch of Bibles, all the Bibles that he had. They were in Chinese, but he started to learn some Korean words through his two buddy relationships that he had. And he went to Korea on this ship. The ship was going there for the purpose of trading, but he went there for the purpose of getting God's word, because he knew that if people could get God's word, things would change. Well, what happened was they were met with fierce opposition. They were attacked. The boat sank. He jumped out of the boat, was throwing Bibles on the shoreline of people, and a soldier came up to him with a sword, because they had orders to kill everybody. And all he could muster up in Korean was Jesus, and he gave him a Bible. Unfortunately, the soldier killed him. You think, man, that's not a great story. there was no success. That was a failure, right? This guy went through all this stuff, and nothing happened. Well, God wasn't done. The guy, the executioner, I guess, in this story, took that Bible. And another couple of soldiers took the Bibles that they saw on the shore, and they because it was customary for them to take things like that and post and plaster their walls with it, sort of like trophies in their houses to say, oh, this is our victory, this is our victory, this is another victory. The problem was they did that, and they started reading it. They started reading the word, and all of a sudden other people heard about that, and they started showing up at their houses to read the word, these scriptures, they have characters and they reading these scriptures about this person, Jesus. And then more and more heard about it, Then they started a church, and then another church, and then another church, and another church. And today, there's about 14 million Christians in Korea. Isn't that amazing? And that's the power of one person saying, God's word is important. They need it. And it started with people reading the word. It changed that whole today, South Korea, that whole country. It's like 30% of their population believe in Jesus. It's amazing what happened. Why? Because somebody said, you need this, read this, it'll change your life. And that's exactly what happened. If you want to have some fun, you can Google Robert Jermaine Thomas and read the story, and it's so cool. But he was convicted because he knew, he saw how the word had changed his life and changed those two guys. When he was in the moment of despair, when he was grieving the loss of his child and his wife, he saw the inspired word of God change these guys' lives, and it reignited him to do what God called him, his purpose. When you came in, you received communion elements. Jesus said in his word, and actually John writes about it, he says, when we take communion, he says, do this to remember me. What's the best way to remember Jesus? None of us were there. It's to read about it. It's to read about it. Read about his life. You know, that night he was, when it's recorded that he said, do this to remember me. And he gave examples. He took some bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body that's going to be broken. You know, there's a scripture we were talking in a huddle earlier. Be still and know God. Like it's Psalm 46 or 7, whatever it is. Be still and know God. While we're doing this right now, be still. Don't think about anything else. Do this to remember Jesus, what he did for you. Jesus died for each and every one of you. It's personal. He didn't die just because of the church. The church is us. It's you and I. Jesus died for you. Say, Jesus died for me. Is that real to you? I hope it is. If it's not, it needs to be. Because that's all our own, that's our only hope. So take, if you could, take the bread. I'm going to pray over it, and then we'll take it. Father God, thank you for this symbol here, this piece of bread that we're ingesting, we're taking. We're saying yes to you. We're remembering you. Your body was brutally broken for us. You took our spot. When it was time for us to pay the price, you said, no, I got you. I got you. I love you. I will stand in your spot. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, let's take the bread together. That same night, he was sharing with his disciples, his buddies. You know, they're having dinner. He says, hey, take a cup. Pass it around. This here, this cup, is not just a liquid in the cup. This is a symbol of the blood that will be shed for you. Poured out. Replacement. And a new covenant. That through him we get to experience and get to know the Father. Thank you, Father. I'm going to pray. And the band can make their way up. I'm sorry. I probably should have told you that before. And Father God, thank you for, as you get ready to take the blood, thank you for this new covenant. Thank you for the opportunity to get to know you. Thank you. We take so much for granted. And we take our relationship with you for granted, Lord. Help us to know you. Help us to plug into you. Help us to spend time with you every day in your word. Reveal yourself to us. Inspire us. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's take the cup together. There'll be some trash cans on the way out. You can take these with you. I just want to ask you real briefly before I wrap up here. Is it time right now for you to make a decision to change some things in your life? Is it time for you? There's someone here probably, at least some of you, I'm guessing there's several of you that say, you know, I need to make some changes. You know, I've been living my way. I've been doing things my way. I've been doing what I want. I've been doing what I desire. And I haven't said yes to him. Or maybe I did, but I kind of forgot about him. You know, if you have a relationship with someone and you kind of don't hang out with them anymore, what happens to that relationship? Fades away, doesn't it? Don't let that happen to you. God gave you the resources every day by reading his word to be in that relationship. Let's pray, and then we're going to stand up and worship. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us to get to know you. Thank you for providing your word. It's so easily available to just open your word and dive in. And Lord, speak to us. Transform our lives in Jesus' name.